strength and your comfort to come through your word. That these, your sons and daughters, young and old, representing different nations of the earth, Lord, that more and more people here and throughout this planet would know of your greatness. Take the word and make it real, because that's what you promised to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Please be seated. And I'm being seated. And some of you are wondering, why is he sitting up there? Two reasons. In the Jewish tradition, they would read the word, and then they would sit down to teach. So this is not anything new. This is something very old. I've not hurt myself. My body is still working fairly fine. The second is, as we think about the future of West Church, your next senior pastor will probably be different than your last senior pastor. And sometimes you need somebody that comes in between and say, well, you know, he's not like Pastor Ralph, he's not like Pastor Gene. That's right, we're going to call somebody that God will have. This morning we're looking at spiritual blind spots, and I want you to open up your Bibles to that passage we read earlier. And the focus is Peter, and Peter goes through a process which he recognizes he has a blind spot that actually will hold back the life and the ministry of the church. Now, the significance of this passage here in Acts chapter 10 is understanding that the church is going through a process of change, and simply put, Peter is waiting for dinner to be cooked. And in the meantime, he has this vision or trance, depending on what translation you have. And he sees this sheet come down, or as some would say, a cloth or a large sheet. So something comes down from heaven, and it has a whole array of animals, of reptiles and birds of the air that, as a good Orthodox Jew, he would not eat. And he is perplexed by it. And what's interesting in the passage is that three times he hears the voice. You'll see it in verse 14. And it will come, 13, 14, and then 15, and then you'll go down to verse 16. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Now, I have never preached on this, and it was about the last two or three years I recognized that so many of us will preach on John 21. Do you remember when Jesus denied Jesus? Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three times. And then Jesus and Peter have this very intimate exchange. And the third time he says, do you love me? And it says it hurt Peter deeply. We often talk about the restoration of Peter in John 21. But we fail sometimes to recognize that here he is, a mature leader, 5 years after Pentecost. 5 years after Pentecost is what the commentators would say, and still there's an area where he has to grow. He has a spiritual blind spot when it comes to the Gentiles. And so what happens is that Peter actually becomes a lid because he is the leader of the church. He's fully saved. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. We read that in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit fell down, and they're speaking in different languages from all the nations of the earth. In Acts 2:5, it says all the nations of the earth were in Jerusalem when the Spirit fell. And that was the fulfillment of God's heart to reach all the nations. And Peter becomes a lid for the expansion of the gospel, and it requires new revelation. So all of us can be a lid or a launching pad for the gospel, and all of us can have a blind spot. So let me just point out that Peter is the main leader of the church during this period of time. In Acts chapter 9, you will see Saul's conversion. And so there's two major approaches to way to study the book of Acts. One is the ministry of Peter, and then how Peter and Paul kind of have a baton shift, kind of the passing of the baton of a running of a race, and all of a sudden Peter is less and less important and Paul is more and more important. And this is all occurring. Chapter 9 is when Saul is converted. Chapter 10 is when Peter has this vision or this trance. Chapter 11, he has to explain it to people because there have been these huge walls between the Gentiles and the Jews for 1,000 or more years. Other approaches of the book of Acts is that it is a study not only of Peter and Paul's ministry, but it is also a study of the gospel expanding in Acts 1:8 that Jesus said to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." So by chapter 11, you have this Antioch church being established. There is now a different center of Christianity. Before, it was only Jerusalem, but now Peter has to go through this process in which he sees things differently that he cannot see on his own. So I use the term blind spot. Have you ever been in the car with somebody and you say, "I can't see out that side. Maybe there's a little frost on the window. Maybe there's some moisture." You ever say that to somebody sitting in the passenger? "Hey, how am I on that side?" Or you're going down on the highway and all of a sudden you kind of look out and you keep looking in your mirror and keep looking at your mirror and you believe there was a car there and you want to turn but you take another look and all of a sudden the car passes. There is a window within your driving range that you cannot see. Now, it is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to listen and it's an opportunity to be able to understand more deeply. Now, what's interesting in this passage, Peter is confused. Look at verse 17, because here, you know, there's pork chops coming down and, you know, ostriches, a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. I don't know what was coming down. The point of the, he would say, "Never, never, never, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, Lord." This is a passage not about pork chops. This is a passage about calling people unclean. Now, how do I find that? Look down to verse 28. In verse 28, because the conclusion is given to Peter by the Holy Spirit, he said this in verse 28, "You are well aware that's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." So this passage is not about food. This passage is about recognizing that God wants to reach everyone. The problem with Peter, and may I say sometimes the problem with us, is that we could have a blind spot. Now, I just want to pause for a minute. If you would turn with me to John 21. John 21. And Peter has denied Jesus three times in John chapter 18. And they go through this conversation. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And then the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" But listen to what it says in this portion here. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" Now we're in Acts chapter 10. The voice coming from heaven is no doubt the voice of the Lord. And the Lord comes back to Peter, focusing on a blind spot that Peter had in his life. And if it hurt him, can you imagine in this passage in John 21, can you imagine the pain, the shame, the failure, the blindness, the remorse that Peter must have had in this moment when the voice of the Lord came to him the third time? Now, I just want to say that Peter was fully rooted in the agape love of God. And that's where he says, "Do you love me?" And he's using that language. When you are fully rooted in the love of God, he can correct you. When you are fully grounded in the unconditional acceptance of the work of Christ, he can say anything he wants to you. When you find yourself resting in the loving arms of Jesus, when you find yourself for all of time and eternity, coming close to Jesus, You recognize that your life is no longer your own, and you're saying to him, Lord, speak to me, show me. Now, I want to ask a question. When do you think Jesus loved Peter the most? Before he denied him? While he denied him? Or after he denied him? When did Jesus love Peter the most? See, I think most of us would go to a performance mentality and say, well, of course he was loved the most when he was doing everything right. No, he wasn't. He was equally loved. Tim Keller says this, that you are more sinful than you can ever dare imagine. Might I say myself, we are more sinful than you can dare imagine. But you are more loved and accepted than you could ever hope for. For you see, Peter is resting in Jesus' love. To know at the center of his being, at the core, that your love from God from eternity past into this present moment and for all of eternity's future, you can rest. Because there are no limits to the love of God, because it's eternal. There are no conditions to receive God's love because it's rooted in God's character. There's no human expectation to comprehend the mystery of God's pleasure before creation of the world. He said he wants you in his family. And there's no human energy needed to produce this love because God's resources are never ending. So let me just say, when you are rooted in that kind of unconditional love, when you know that you know that you know that God loved you before you sinned, while you sinned, and after you sinned, and it can never be lost, it can never be stolen, it can never fade, it can never be taken away. If you have that safety and that security, then you can say, Lord, speak. Lord, speak. Two little vignettes, and then we'll go a little bit more into Peter and then talk about potential blind spots that we might have. Anybody have a family physician that you had almost your whole life that you went through, like from the time you could remember to the time you went through high school? We had one. His name was Dr. Mason. He was a little kind of gruff, and he had big glasses and, you know, the white jacket, and sometimes he wore a Harris tweed. I think he had a cigarette in the lobby going because he always smelled like smoke. And the stethoscope would kind of go back and forth, and he had more pens and pencils in one pocket that you can possibly imagine. But Dr. Mason, I was always one of the heaviest kids in the class, probably from about third grade till about high school, and was a little embarrassed the way I looked. He said, take off your trousers, take off your shirt, get up on the table. But you know what? It was all right. Because ever since I was carried in by my mom, I knew he was a safe person. I knew that if he had to take a test or draw some blood or check me, that I was in a place of safety. So I'd like to suggest to you that when Peter hears this for the third time, he's deeply wounded by the voice of the Lord. Because the pattern of denial, he denied three times, didn't he? In John chapter 19. He was restored three times in John chapter 21. And now 5 years later, he is saved, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen, and he has a major spiritual blind spot because he cannot see people the way Jesus sees them. Now's the time to say either ouch or amen. Thank you for laughing, Pastor Rick. It's not easy to talk about our blind spots, is it? It's not easy to talk about areas where we need to grow. This past week, I went to see a Christian counselor, and we're in the room maybe, 2 to 3 minutes, and I said, I just want to come and meet with you because I'm approaching a particular subject, and I'm not sure that I might have a big blind spot. Did you ever think about maybe talking to somebody about the way you approach a subject and say, I might have a blind spot? And you say, well, no, I don't have a blind spot. I just can't see them. That's why they're called blind spots. So let's a little conclusion. And this is a monumental moment for the Church of Jesus Christ. God has spoken to Peter in a vision to open his eyes, but Peter was the lid because he had a blind spot. Peter was deeply spiritual. He was mature. He was glorious, saved. But Peter had a pattern in the past that God used that particular pattern to help him to see people around him much differently. Peter was impulsive. He was absolute. He could only think in black and white terms. He overestimated his strength and underestimated Jesus' word. And all four of the Gospels point this out about him. Three times in this text, the pattern is demonstrated in the blind spot. But here's what we learn from Peter. Peter listens, Peter learns, Peter loves, Peter changes, and Peter grows. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. I want us to think about blind spots. Overcoming spiritual blind spots. Do you have any? So I want us to think for just a few moments, any area that we might have a blind spot. I need some help, Jen. I have a blind spot. Have you ever experienced a blind spot moment in your life? And if so, where was it? And how about this other one? Have you ever seen a blind spot in somebody else's life? How about your own life? So this morning, the Holy Spirit in John 16:8, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So that's what happened when you get saved. That's what C.S. Lewis said, God puts the floodlight on our fallenness. But then C.S. Lewis will say that as we continue to grow in Christ's likeness, God not only puts the floodlight on our soul, he puts the spotlight on particular areas where he wants us to grow. So if you're already saved, you're already secure, you can already rest in God's unconditional love, you are secure in him. But now we go through this process in which we're actually going to see blind spots in our life and the life of other people. Do we need a battery? What is it? Oh, thank you. I had a blind spot with this. This is all pre-planned. So how much clarity do we have in the blind spots with other people's in our lives? And how clearly can we see our own blind spots? Here's a question. Have you ever been totally wrong about something when you thought you were totally right? Okay, has that happened more than once? So do you ever say, I hope I'm totally wrong here? I do that often because I want to be wrong. Do you ever say to somebody, I'm not sure I see the whole picture here? I'm seeing some smiles. This was actually a train museum, and they forgot there was a blind spot that trains were originally designed to move. Here's a physical blind spot, an area of visual impairment that cannot be directly observed because of limitations of sight or lack of coverage of a narrow field. That is actually a technical definition. Example, the man driving the truck has several blind spots. So when you're trained as a truck driver, here are the blind spots to watch out for motorcycles. If you are driving this truck on the road, there are areas in which you are professionally trained to look out for. They're called blind spots. Don't you wish we had a manual for people? Don't you wish that we had a manual as we go through life of here's where the potential blind spots might be as you're going down the road of life. Here's the blind spots that you'd see when you drive down the car. That little section of the mirror, and how many times, I can tell you dozens and dozens of times, that I have stopped at extra second and there's a car that I can't see. You know what I'm talking about? Now, the reason I usually get upset is because I don't see it or I'm afraid. And if there's something that you can't see about yourself, don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is already working. The love of Christ has not changed. He's already involved. Personal blind spot can be a prejudice against a person or a subject they're unaware of being ignorant or biased against. In fact, here's an example. The boss has a blind spot about Vivian. He would never fire her. Why? Because Vivian is just so good. No, he likes Vivian. He's not going to fire her. Warning, you may have a blind spot. Spiritual blind spots, what we talked about in this passage here in Acts chapter 10, is the inability to perceive or recognize God's work, or the inability of an area of one's life that's underdeveloped, restrictive, or damaging to other people around them. So when I went to see my counselor this week, and I'm not going to slit my wrist, I'm not sitting in a fetal, I want to grow. I want to find out if there's anything in my life that I don't see that's what? Underdeveloped. Is there an area in your life that might be underdeveloped? This is a Christian counselor and I'm trusting myself. Or is there certain parts of how I'm driving the trailer truck of my life down the road where people around me don't see me? Is this making sense? Now, can you see this blind spot in somebody you know? No one's going to admit it. So what happens is that sometimes a person that knows the Bible cover to cover but may have a major blind spot in how he treats his wife and children. And so knowledge of the Word and knowledge of doctrine is critical. It's really important. But let me let you know another example is that I've heard people say this of people they're close with. She just can't see how God is using this in her life right now. She has a blind spot. So sometimes we wonder if God's working in our life because we haven't been able to figure it out. Or we can't perceive it. We don't know what he's doing. And so therefore, we want to jump off the train. It's what Corrie ten Boom says, don't jump off the train when you're going through a tunnel. Trust the driver of the train. Spiritual blind spots in relationships. This is a man has a blind spot when driving down. Now, actually, no humans were seriously, there was no fatalities, but did not see a group of bicyclists when he was going down the road. My driving and your driving, we're not talking about cars, has impact on other people because we're living together in a Christian community. So quiet. Let's kind of lean in. Secret information. Y'all ready? Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians and followers have blind spots. That's why we started the service this morning in Ephesians 1:18. We pray that the eyes of our heart might be opened or might have more revelation. That's why I used the illustration with A.J. Gordon, the founder of Gordon College when he was at Clariton Baptist Church. And he had to actually, in his autobiography, said, he asked the question, why does God use us sometimes when we're asleep? And A.J. Gordon responded, he said, that God can speak to a man, and I'm sure women and children as well, so I'm not being not gender specific, he can speak to us. God can speak to a man in sleep when he is unconscious of himself, where I can make him more conscious of myself. So God can use anything he wants to get our attention. Now we often, coming out of the sovereignty tradition, and that's Reformed sovereignty in which I've been schooled in, we say that God has the absolute right to do anything he wants, anytime, to anyone, however he wills. Is that not true? So in this passage of Scripture, and I'm not suggesting for you to pray for a sheep with animals coming down a bit, but both in verse 17 and verse 19, Peter is distressed and he's confused because he can't figure out what's happening. So sometimes when God's speaking to us that we can't figure out what he's doing, we're distressed and we're confused, what we need to pray for is fresh revelation. Here's the good news about blind spots. The right to be wrong. Os Guinness says this about us as believers in Christ. The remarkable thing about the Christian faith is the whole notion of corrigibility, the right to be wrong. However, the irony is that we who become believers in Christ have faced up to the fact we're 100% wrong and confessed it, are often after that the last and the most reluctant to ever admit it again that they were wrong. And Guinness concludes, we should be the most open people to be corrected. You know why? Because we're safe. Look to somebody and say, we're safe. And I want to grow. Now that's a process in the church because often so much of our Christianity is about performance, isn't it? Believing the right things, doing the right things, avoiding the wrong things, serving on this committee, doing that, looking a certain way. I didn't wear a tie this morning. I hope you're not overly offended, but it was purposeful. For your next pastor may never wear a tie, and now he's going to come into West Church, and we're going to say tie required. Well, we should probably talk to him before we get here, and he'll get offended. But maybe issues that we look at within the church are kind of like the Jews and the Gentiles. Maybe something deeper that God wants us to see that we need during this period of time. Now, here's the lessons, if you'd like to take some notes, and then we'll do some conclusions for us at West Church. Here's the first lesson. Blind spots for man can become God's invitation for new beginnings, verses 9 through 13. So Peter couldn't see people, particularly the Gentiles, the way Jesus saw them. He was deeply rooted in the tradition of his faith, but he had a blind spot for the people that were on the heart of Jesus. And it required Peter to get new sight that the lid would come off, so the whole community. So Acts chapter 10 is Peter's blind spot. Acts chapter 11, he spends the whole time convincing the church that we should reach out to the Gentiles. And then by the end of chapter 11 is Antioch. So it's moving from Jerusalem to Antioch. But it was the blind spot that was a new beginning. So if you say, hey, God, I might have a blind spot, do not be discouraged. Do not beat yourself up. Do not clothe yourself with shame and blame and guilt. Say, God, I just don't see this. Would you do something new? Would you do a new beginning here? Like us, Peter was, it's possible to be right and wrong at the same time. Remember Matthew 16? Jesus has this conversation. He's talking to Peter about going to the cross. And Peter says, this should never be. And then Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have the plans of God, but rather the plans of man. So sometimes certain things that we have blind spots, it's just because, you know, we're right on certain things. But there's something else that God wants to do. There's something else which he wants to grow you. There's something else he wants to turn on the spotlight. There's something else that he wants to turn on the floodlight. Peter also learned that new revelation is needed to discern God's new direction. We are praying fervently as a search team, pulpit team. We are praying as deacons. We're asking the Lord to lead us during this period of time. This is a key time in the life of West Church. Amen. And so as we go through the process, we're asking the Lord to bring a leader that is like Peter. We're asking the Lord to bring somebody that have eyes for people that we don't see right now. We're asking for a leader to come and help us to be actually having the heart and the mind of Jesus for our communities on the North Shore. And that's where a leader's blind spots can become a lid for a whole group of people. In verse 28, it's not about pork chops, it's about people. And here's the good news again. The Holy Spirit frees Peter from his past to see new things from God's perspective. In verses 34 and verse 35 of Acts chapter 10. And I love the Bible because it's so realistic to where we are at. And then Peter, Acts 10 and verse 34, began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right, and the message that God has sent to the people Israel, telling him good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is what? Lord of all. That's the conclusion of this passage. We're almost done. And I don't have to do this last part. But I'm going to do the last part. It's not very long. But I'm asking us as West Church to think about three potential areas that we might have blind spots, particularly as we get ready. And we don't have a candidate that's been chosen. We don't have a candidating date. My job is to prepare the way and then get out of the way. But I think we need to at least have conversation on these things. Are we in need of new revelation? So first we're going to look at senior pastor. Second, we're going to look at the word vision. And then third, we're going to look about missions. So this has been the senior pastor's description, profile, overview, and this is exactly, well, there's some tweaking. The deacons did a great job on it. Let's thank God for the deacons. They did a huge amount of work. This is the same foundation of spiritual maturity, of loving the word, of being a person of Christ, of equipping the saints. This has gone unchanged. But here's the second part. We recognize that those internal competencies that we just looked at, but we also want to look at what we would call leadership competencies, missional strategy, leading change, re-engineering, and revitalization. It's almost what happened with Peter, that he had some new eyes given by the Lord for revelation for a specific group of people. We're asking that our pastor isn't a know-it-all, but our pastor brings revelation to help us to grow. That's the first thing. So the role of the pastor, we're praying and asking, do we have any blind spots? The second area, do you remember all took that survey? That long, long survey? You wonder what the search team was doing when the white smoke wasn't billowing up from the upper room. So here's there was a number of responses, but here's what highest response, connecting with the younger generation. 61%, 35% local outreach. So that was the two strongest responses. Does that look familiar, you folks? So here's where potential blind spot might be. And this comes from the survey. What do you prefer the new senior pastor's top strengths will be? 7 out of 9, number 7, was a visionary. Now, I've spoken with many in the church, and they've said, well, you know, maybe they just think that somebody with a lot of good ideas, or maybe they think about that somebody that's just kind of have it their way, or maybe they think about somebody that's going to superimpose something. Beloved, if you'd like to reach your community and next generation, your next lead pastor has to have that heart of Peter for the Gentiles. And the reality might be, hold your breath, we might be the Jewish church that doesn't see things the way that Jesus sees things. Now, you don't have to agree with me. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So that's the second area. The first is on what the pastor will do. The second, we want to reach our community, but do we need more vision? And then third, our ministry direction. Our congregation has done an unbelievable job with foreign missions. We've been faithful. We write cards. We have missions conferences. I don't know what the number we support, 20-something. Do you know what it is? 29, almost 30. We give almost $200,000 a year away to foreign missions, and praise God. But I'd like us just to think a little bit that as we move from this deep commitment from the past, last year we only spent $800 directly. Now, I know there's some other mission areas, so nobody take too much. We spent a very small percentage on reaching our local community. Missional direction is that all Christians should be involved in the Great Commission. And it is our understanding that for us to be faithful, to be the true church, we need to deal with any blind spots that over time perhaps has separated us from what might be the Gentile church that is all around us. So would you close your eyes? Isn't it always interesting we ask to close our eyes because we want to see something that we don't see already. And so, Father, we close our eyes, but we do really want to see what you see. Father, if there's a blind spot in my life, if there's a blind spot in our lives, would we recognize that a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a mother or a father, maybe somebody we work with, they know what we believe, and yet we're blind to some of the things that are more important to you. Would you particularly be with the pulpit committee as they go deeper and deeper in asking for your revelation? And Father, we give you total permission as the sovereign God of the universe. Use whatever you need to for us to see what you see, personally and as a congregation. Father, we only want to do your will. And yet we recognize, even if we've been in the faith a long period of time, we get habits, we get patterns, we get scaly eyes. Would you take those scales off so we might see as you see? And we will give you all the glory in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.